welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We continue our series looking at the question, Emmanuel, so what? God is with us, so how does that affect our daily lives? What difference does the knowledge that God is with us make to our lives? Well, God is with us because we have been forgiven an unpayable debt. We have the opportunity to have a relationship with God and have God with us through the Holy Spirit, because Jesus chose to take the almighty weight of our sin when he died on the cross. This amazing act deserves our response. So how do we respond to him? Let me read from Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owned. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." So in response to Peter's questions about forgiveness, Jesus tells the parable about the unmerciful servant. This parable begins with a king wanting to settle accounts with his servants. A servant was brought to him that owed the king a large amount of money. In fact, this servant owed an obscene amount of money that no one could possibly repay. We're told he owes 10,000 bags of gold, or, as some translations put it, 10,000 talents. A talent was not exactly a coin, but rather a unit of monetary reckoning. So it's hard to describe exactly how much this was worth. But various commentaries suggest that one single talent was the equivalent to 6,000 denarii. And a denarii was the amount given for a day of labour. So to earn one talent, the servant would need to work 6,000 days. To repay the debt of 10,000 talents, the servant would need to work 60 million days of work, which is roughly 164,383 years. So, this gives us an idea of the vast debt that the servant owed to the king. There was absolutely no way the servant would have been able to repay that debt. And yet the servant says to the king, "Be patient with me and I will pay back everything." Both the king and the servant would have known full well that the servant was never paying back the debt, And so his request for the king to be patient was pretty ridiculous. This is a symbol of our situation with God. We have rebelled against God, sinned, and chosen to go our own way. And this has created a huge divide between us and God. It's a divide that no matter how hard we try, we could never bridge. We are like that servant in a depth so deep that seems to be no hope. And yet, so often we, like that servant, attempt to fool ourselves into thinking we can earn God's love and forgiveness. We fool ourselves by hoping that if we perform the right religious rituals and we abide by the laws as best as we can, that we can redeem ourselves. We might even look at other people and think to ourselves, ah, well, at least my debt isn't quite as big as that person's. They are much more sinful and worthy of God's wrath. But when we're truly honest with ourselves and with God, we recognise that there is nothing we can do to redeem us and make things right with God. But just like the king in this passage, our God is a loving, merciful God. The king took pity on the servant and cancelled the debt he was owed. The king was owed an enormous amount of money, and yet he chooses to have mercy on the servant. And this is a truly astonishing thing for someone to do. Yet God went even further than that. He didn't just cancel our debt. God is a loving God, but he is also a holy and just God. It would not be just if God just allowed sin to be glossed over. And so instead, Jesus took it upon himself to redeem us. Our debt wasn't just cancelled, but Jesus paid the price for us by taking our punishment on him. In Isaiah 53, we are told, or Isaiah gives the prophecy that says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So when we consider the enormity of what God did for us, first and foremost, let us not forget to be thankful to God for his abundant grace. So we need to be thankful to him. But we are also called to be more than merely thankful. We are called to be imitators of Jesus. And so that means that just as we have been forgiven, so too shall we forgive others who hurt us. Peter asked Jesus to clarify something for him. "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?" "Up to 7 times." Now, a little bit of background. In Jewish tradition, there was a limit to how many times someone should be forgiven. It was argued that if someone keeps doing the same thing wrong against you, then they're not truly repentant, and so they should not be forgiven endlessly. And so in Jewish law, people were only obligated to forgive someone 3 times. In the Talmud it says, "When a person commits a transgression the first time, he is forgiven. A second time, he is forgiven. A third time, he is forgiven. But the 4th time, he is not forgiven. As it is stated, 'Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Israel, but for 4 I will not reverse it.'" So Peter wanted to know what Jesus thought the limit should be. He probably thought he was being extremely generous by offering to forgive up to 7 times. After all, that is more than double what the Jewish law stipulated. Additionally, 7 was considered the number of completeness, of perfection. And so perhaps Peter also thought that his duty to forgive someone would be complete if he forgave them 7 times. But Jesus wants to make it clear that we should not be setting limits to how often we forgive anyone. He answers Peter, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times." Now, obviously, Jesus doesn't intend for us to count to 77. The number is not the point. Jesus is explaining that forgiveness is not something to be rationed out sparsely, but instead is something to be offered freely and abundantly. So then Jesus tells the parable to explain why we should offer limitless forgiveness and grace. Because we ourselves have received limitless mercy and grace from our Heavenly Father. And to illustrate his point effectively, Jesus deliberately uses that ridiculous sum of money that the servant owed to the king to contrast to the much lesser sum that the second servant owed the first. This paints a vivid picture that demonstrates to us that we have been forgiven and given boundless grace and mercy, and so that should flow over to our relationships with others. Just as we have been given grace and mercy, so we should have grace and mercy for those who have wronged us. Is there someone that you are angry with and struggling to forgive? Is there someone who has hurt you again and again, and you're holding onto that pain, anger, and hatred as a shield to stop getting hurt by them again? Jesus reminds us of how much we have been forgiven. We sin against God again and again, often committing the same offences towards him. And yet we have not been given the punishment we deserve. Instead, we have been given the love of God and acceptance into his family that we don't deserve. And so when we consider what we have received, it helps us to find the strength to forgive others. But we do indeed need God to provide us with that strength, because forgiving someone who has hurt you may well be the hardest thing you have ever had to do. When we choose to forgive someone, we choose to let go of our desire for vengeance. We no longer keep a record of the wrong they have done to us. Renowned theologian R.T. Kendall spoke about forgiveness, and he said it is a life sentence. He compared the act of forgiveness to an onion. No, not because it smells and makes people cry, although forgiveness often does make people cry, but because it has many layers. It is a lifelong process of giving our hurts and wounds to God and allowing him to heal us and remove our desire for payback. When someone has done something that has deeply wounded us, we have to make a repeated choice to forgive. We might choose in one moment to give grace to someone who has hurt us, but then the next day we might feel the pain afresh, and we have to choose to forgive again. Just like peeling away the layers of an onion, so we have to keep peeling away those layers of the hurt and pain that we experience. Forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness hurts. And we can only truly forgive when we rely on God to give us the strength and the grace to do it. So as we think about God being with us, recognize the abundant grace that you have been given and ask him to help you pass that grace on to those who have hurt you. Jesus tells us how that first servant left the king's presence where he had been freed from this huge debt. And he immediately went to find a fellow servant who owed him a tiny debt. 100 denarii. And that first servant did not recognize the abundant grace that he had been given. He showed no compassion for his fellow man as he grabbed him and began to choke him, demanding repayment. Despite having just been in that position, the servant does not take pity on his fellow one. When that fellow servant begs for the servant to have patience, to give him more time to pay back the money. And so this first unmerciful servant throws the second one into prison until he repays the money. Upon hearing this, the king is justly furious. "You wicked servant, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" And so the king throws the unmerciful servant into prison. When we choose to hold on to a grudge against someone, when we seek payback and vengeance, then we imprison ourselves in bitterness and hatred. Unforgiveness makes us unable to receive God's grace and mercy because it creates a hardness of heart. It puts up a wall around our heart that does not let anything in. R.T. Kendall told of an incident where he had been painfully wounded by someone, and upon recounting this story to a friend, instead of getting the sympathy that he was looking for, the friend said, "You must forgive them completely. Until you forgive them completely, you will remain in chains." Jesus warns us that if we do not forgive others, God will not forgive us. So are you harbouring any unforgiveness in your heart? Is there someone that fills your heart with hatred? Pray to God for the strength to begin that difficult and painful process of forgiveness. And then pray to God for that person. Ask God to bless them. Come to God with a heart that truly wants good things for the person that has wounded you. Forgive them completely, otherwise you will remain in chains. Now, as a little side note, I want to state that when thinking about forgiveness, I'm aware that for some people, they may have been victims of crime. And it is important for lots of reasons, including for the safety of others, that people face justice for any crimes that they have committed and that they are given the sentence that their crimes deserve. So while I speak of forgiveness, this does not prevent someone from facing the consequences of their crimes through the justice system. So if you have had a crime committed against you, do not feel like you can't report it because we're told forgive. We should still report our crimes to make sure that they can't happen to other people. But we can also still forgive them in our hearts. And in fact, it is important for us to forgive them, as otherwise we will be in chains as much as they are. Allow God to heal your wounds and give you the strength to forgive, no matter what hurt has been done to you. But if a crime has been committed against you, please also allow the justice system to respond appropriately. So we recognise that God has forgiven us abundantly. And so we are thankful to God. We must continue to praise him and to give him glory for the wonder of forgiveness that we have received. But we also need to pass that forgiveness on. When we have been hurt, we need to forgive others. Because if we do not, the cost of unforgiveness is a hardened heart that does not accept the forgiveness that God gives us. So let us truly be thankful for the grace that God has given us and let that flow out into our lives so that we are able to forgive others. Let's pray. Here we are again, God, with all that makes us who we are. And Lord, we so often have grievances against other people. And yet we recognise that the massive weight of sin that we have committed has been forgiven by you. So Lord, help us to respond to you, to respond to that amazing forgiveness that you give us, and allow it to flow out into our lives. Lord, we know what would happen if you dealt with us as our sins deserve. If justice was served in our lives, we could not stand. The forgiveness you offer is larger than we could ever comprehend. And so, Lord, we come to you once again praying for forgiveness for the things we've done wrong, giving you worship and praise for the almighty grace you have given us, and also asking you to help us, to transform us, to allow us to forgive those who have hurt us. Help us to choose the harder road that leads to healing and real forgiveness. Help us to totally forgive as we have been totally forgiven. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.